You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Once again, for the events this week, we've got two of them. The Andalusia Masters on the European Tour played at Valderrama, and the Rocket Mortgage Classic played in Detroit this week. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall to preview the action. First of all, good morning to you, Dave. Did you enjoy your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
In terms of golf betting, not particularly, because it was one that got away territory with Ches Reavy.
Yeah, we mentioned him strongly towards the end of the podcast last week, talking about Don Reavy's house and whether or not he was going to back that performance up from Pebble. And he did. I suppose you can say it's one that got away, but you've got to remember he hadn't won for 11 years either.
Yeah, that sort of doesn't make sense, does it, really, when you think about that?
He'd often been a little bit fragile in the heat of battle. I remember when he should have won a playoff event, we're talking 6-7 years ago now, and needed to par the last. It was a relatively easy par five, and he had wedge from about 85 yards into the green. I remember it well, actually. Went over the back there.
Were you on him?
No, I was on Webb Simpson, who won the event in a playoff. And I needed Reavy to make six, which looked like it couldn't happen, and he wedged from 80 odd yards over the back, chipped down and two putted, and Simpson beat him in the playoff. But I think that's kind of the story of Reavy's, or had been the story of Reavy's career, near misses, because he's such an accurate player from tee to green. He's had opportunities to win and has not quite sealed the deal, but that wasn't the case last week. He led by six going into the final round, and even though Keegan Bradley closed on him, he made a good birdie on 17 to seal the deal.
Yeah, I think it was massive that he'd finished third at the US Open.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think, oh, maybe that they've just had a peak week. But I think for him, that was his best major performance. He talked about it in his press conference afterwards. He said that performance, to play so well under the gun, even though he was never going to win it, really, but to play so well and get third at Pebble, to do that in a major, really sort of kicked him on. So I think that was a huge reason why he won this week.
And especially playing alongside Brooks Koepka as well, because
you sort of just, you know, see how the best do it.
Absolutely. You're there, and you know he's such a cold-blooded killer on the golf course in major championships. To be there alongside him and still perform well when you know you're getting beaten badly off the tee, aren't you, for starters?
Yeah, Paul Casey was very sort of praiseworthy of Reavy, wasn't he, saying he's just tough as nails because he's not got these physical attributes that everyone else has, but he's just getting it together. And yeah, it's taken him a while to, was the Canadian Open, he led that after 54 holes, so he has now converted twice with the 54 hole lead. So good to see him win in a pure golfing sense, but frustrating from a punting sense.
And there's only so many courses that a player like a Ches Reavy type can win at, isn't there, as well on the PGA Tour. I think we've seen three, in inverted commas, shortish hitters win this season, and they've all won on golf courses where you don't need to be a bomber. Obviously, Graham McDowell, CT Pan, the other two, and Reavy doing it last week.
Yeah, so the more we sort of analysed it, the more it was quite obvious.
Yeah. And on the European Tour, Andrea Pavan beat Matt Fitzpatrick in a playoff to seal the BMW International. I didn't watch much of Sunday because A, I was sulking, and B, I was at a wedding, so I didn't see much
of
it.
Were they related? Did you want to marry the bride?
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Gotta let those things go. Your turn will come, Dave. Just stay in there.
Martin Kaymer. A bit of a capitulation over the last 36 holes because he was in control of that tournament through 36, traded around about 7-4 going into the weekend, and dropped down the leaderboard. And it's been weird with Kaymer because 5, 6, 7 years ago you'd say if you want one man for your life to close out a tournament, Kaymer would be high up on the list, but now he'd maybe be low down on the list.
Yeah, didn't he lose the... Did he lose Abu Dhabi when he was 10 clear or something? Yeah. Maybe that's still...
That was the start of the downfall, really.
But yeah, I watched some of that Saturday, and you kind of knew he was just sort of off, out of sync and off kilter, and you knew he just kept powering, and you kind of knew the next deviation for power is going to be a bogey, and it's just going to, and you do that thing where you, if you've backed him, you sort of go down the leaderboard and look, oh, everyone is under par in the entire world apart from the guy I've backed. How is that possible? And it's like you've somehow created it because you were on him.
I think there were a couple of really short misses. He missed on four from about 4 feet when he's parred the first three and he's looking for his first birdie of the day. And as you mentioned, then he makes bogey on the par five and it quickly spirals out of control.
So it's still... he's still sort of trending upwards, as they say, and he was third at Memorial, and something's looking so it might be brewing, but it's just getting the timing right, maybe when people have slightly given up on him, possibly. But I think he's very mentally strong, so I think sort of blowing that in front of his own German fans will have less effect on him than it might have others.
And Pavan's a very, very talented young player, isn't he?
Two wins in less than 12 months, isn't it, for him? Although, if you watched it, Fitzpatrick will be kicking himself all around Germany before not getting that done. He twice should have won in the playoff. He got a huge break when his ball embedded, and he just had to get up and down and mess that up. And then, again, he even though Pavan played a great third for a kicking birdie, Fitzpatrick should have matched that, really, from sand. So, the one that got away for him.
Maybe he'll gain recompense this week. We'll find out. The Andalusia Masters is the first event we're going to preview. And Sergio Garcia and John Rahm are 6-1 joint favourites here with William Hill. And Matthew Fitzpatrick is 9-1. Joos Louten is 20-1. Mike Lorenzo Vera, 25-1. Julian Surrey is 30s. Thomas Dietrich is 33-1. Jorge Campillo is 35-1. Ross Fisher, 40-1, along with David Lipsky, Andy Sullivan, Andrea Pavan, Adrian Ortegi and Matthias Schwab and Paul Waring, and it's 50-1 and bigger the rest of them. And this is one of the best weeks of the year on the European Tour, and that's down to the golf course. Valderrama hosts once again, and it's a true test, and it's the standard bearer, I think, for the phrase a golf course doesn't have to be long to test the players, because this Robert Trent Jones Jr. design is only 7,000 yards and players to a par of 71, but it's tight off the tee. The bent grass greens are small, which test the short game, and only the three par fives offer any real respite this week. And I'm hoping we're going to have a repeat of the Spanish Open when Valderrama hosted back in 2016, where the winning score was plus one. That'd be nice.
Well, after the kind of US Open denied those who like to see golfers suffer, what did Woodland win minus 13? Then this is kind of hopefully a sort of European Tour version, because, as you said, Beef won with three over. And it's
one over.
One over, Are you, you kind of, you always get told some of these courses, oh, you've got to hit it in the fairway, and then you look afterwards and someone's sort of finished about 70th in driving accuracy. Yeah. If you look historically, I think for the last 5 years, the winner here has been in the top 10 for driving accuracy. So it really, really does play out that you can't be missing fairways, because the greens are small, so you've got to be hitting from the short grass. Mm. So I think it's a great week for punting, because I think you can kind of almost put a divide line. Well, he's not winning because he doesn't hit it straight enough, and he's got a decent chance. And I don't think the odds are more like just for a normal event with slight tweaks. I think you need a bigger tweaks for some of the guys.
Do you think this is a real horses for courses venue?
Yeah.
And another thing that we just alluded to there, the change in the schedule as well, because the Spanish Open, when Valderrama hosted the Spanish Open in 2016, it was at this time of year, but the Andalusia Masters is usually in October. So are we expecting more of the Spanish Open type test than the Andalusia Masters type test?
I think so. I think firm and fast. I think the weather's been good in the build-up, nice and dry and sunny. And obviously last year it was reduced to 54 holes. The weather was that naff. So this is a proper, I think it's Valderrama as it was intended this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. It should be a good event. You're looking for arrow straight drivers, those who scramble well when they do miss these small greens, and as you mentioned, maybe decent course form as well into the reckoning. Sergio Garcia, let's just have a quick word on him, because a lot of people will see that 6-1 and look through his course form, which reads incredibly well, and think 6-1 is a gift this week. But his game appears to be out of shape at the moment, and he's referenced that fact as well. Said at the US Open, even when he was in contention, didn't have a clue where the ball was going, and it does put me off this week at sixes.
Yeah, it really is a test of your course form, sort of trumps all theory, isn't it, for this week? How much are you prepared to kind of stretch and give Sergio the benefit of the doubt? And for me, I think you've got to be more on it. I'd rather be backing him at 3-1 when he was in form than getting double the price when he's not on it at all. So I think it's great, because I think John Rahm, I don't think this is his course either.
No, I don't think it's his course, but I'd much rather back Rahm at 6-1 than Garcia at 6-1 personally.
Would you? I don't know, still.
Would. Yeah, I would. I just think Rahm is the absolute class act in the field by a distance.
But is he going to find the fairways enough?
I don't know. He's played well at Colonial in the past, and that's a golf course which demands pretty accurate driving. Maybe not at the same level as Valderrama. He's won in Spain before, admittedly, in the Spanish Open, when it was very low scoring and a completely different type of test to this.
The one
he's
I like,
coming off yeah. third at Pebble.
Yeah, the one I like, to be fair to him, I like his good play at Le Golf National, because that is a very kind of, yeah. if you're looking at a course with similar attributes. I think there's a lot on his plate this way. I know he's won the Spanish Open, but I think he won that. There was more leeway on that course. I think he's
got to be 20 under the year.
He's got to be absolutely on it. All the other stuff, I think there's potential for the old frustration to kick in there for him this week.
There's three obviously that have separated themselves at the top of the betting. Is Matthew Fitzpatrick the one that you like best out of the trio?
Well, not necessarily, because it's his first start here. It does look made for him, you have to say that, and he's got the great stats from last week. Perfect stats for this test, but 9-1 isn't for me at all. No. So I'm happy to leave the front three, let them go.
Okay, you must have at least a couple of picks then in the event, given that you're negative on the front three.
Yeah,
in the market.
Well, I've got three actually.
Okay, yeah. I've just got the one, so I'll let you lead off.
Yeah, it definitely taps into course form, and also taps into recent course form, and sort of more than just course form, because this event on the schedule last year was kind of last chance saloon, wasn't it, when certain players had to have a big performance to keep their cards. So I'm going to go for two of those. First one, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño.
Okay, that's interesting.
At 100-1. Obviously, he's a Spaniard, knows this course very, very well. And you look at how he's played it down the years. He's just got a string of top 25s. And last four attempts, 12th in 2011, 5th last year. I think he's 8 cuts out of 9, and they're all 21st, 22nd, 22nd, 26th. Just repeatedly he plays it well. So I think he's just, you can sort of pencil him in for 20th or so, and he's just got to be on it with his short game. But I think keeping his card there under that pressure, because it was a big, because he was, you know, he was kind of not quite getting it done on the web.com. He wasn't quite working out from in America. So that was a big, big thing for him, real load of pressure. And he came through it with flying colours. And then if you look at his recent form, okay, he's missed the cut in Germany last week, but for me that just gives him a price here. Top 25 in his three starts before that. So I think you've got a player clearly in good nick, coming home to Spain, and with lots of previous experience at the course. So it's 100-1. I couldn't really argue him at 40s or something, but 100-1. With all those positives, it seems to me like a strong each-way bet.
Okay, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño is Dave's first selection at 100-1. I'm going slightly towards the top of the market for my first pick. Julian Suri is my only selection in this event at 30-1. And I think the American offers a little bit of value this week. He's missed his last couple of cuts, which is maybe slightly disappointing, but one came in the USPGA Championship, and maybe there was a bit of rust in his performance after 5 weeks off at the BMW International Open last time out. He shot 1-under through 36 and was better in the second round and missed the cut on the number. He ranks 4th in strokes gained off the tee this season Julian Surrey, which I think augurs very well for this. And he did make a stunning comeback from injury earlier in the year when tied for fourth in the Hero Indian Open and tied second at the Trophy Hassan as well. Just the one start of the course, finished eighth in 2017, which offers more than a little encouragement. And he's got some serious scope as well. There's room for improvement with Surrey. And I think some of those towards the top of the betting, like you mentioned, have been well-found, and I think Surrey offers a little bit of value at 30-1.
Yeah, he's runner-up in Hong Kong on a tight track. He should have won at Le Golf National and all those courses, and actual this course form. So, yeah, he's one. I mean, I don't see why he should be almost the same price as Thomas Detry, who just keeps getting thrown in at this sort of price without quite suggesting he should
be. I just think he's a different class of player to Mike Lorenzo Vera, with all due respect to him at 25-1. So he interests me at 30-1, and hopefully the only slight niggle is maybe he's got a slight niggle because he has had the long absence to overcome, and then takes 5 weeks off in between and misses a cut. So that would be the only slight concern. Maybe he's feeling something, but hopefully there's nothing in that. And 30-1, I think he'll run well. I think if he drives the ball well, he'll set himself up nicely on this course.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go for a 66-1 shot for my second pick. I wondered if you might pick him, but Richie Ramsey.
Yeah, I was looking at Richie Ramsey.
I think a lot of people are this week, to be honest. He's got the course form. Third on debut back in 2011, 29th in that Spanish Open in 2016. And then last year had to play well to keep his card. It got that bad for him last year and came here and was 11th, a real gutsy performance. Yeah. So some really good course form for Richie Ramsey. And then he's played really quite well this year, hasn't he, in the last couple of months. He was 14th in the China Open, 5th in the British Masters at Hillside, 12th in the Maiden Denmark. Missed the cut in Germany, but I always like it when they miss the cut with a decent score. I don't love it a lot, but it's I'd rather it that way.
Yeah.
So on that Friday he shot 67. So he's missed the cut on the back of a 67. I think he had 7 or 8 birdies. So I think he would have been chomping at the bit to get going again, because he's thinking, actually it was just a bad first day, 76 on day one. That's what cost me. So I think he's raring to go again, and again 66-1, I think he should be shorter because of what he can do at this course.
Yeah, he's talked about his love of the venue, hasn't he? And like you said, I'd wish we could play every week at Valderrama. So yeah, he's relishing the test, whereas some of the others might not be.
Yeah, and I think he'd got through the cut in Germany and then gone on to finish 10th, he would be nowhere near 66s for this.
Yep. And third and final
one,
pick,
I've got a big list here of.
Yeah, I can see your list. You've got.
I'll read some of the others who were close.
Well, let me do a couple here. Aaron Rye, who's been well found in the market now at 50-1.
I think, wasn't
he? Arrow Straight, won in Hong Kong, and
blame Ben Coley for that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, tied 8th in this event in 2017,
but it certainly makes a lot of
Ben
sense.
Ben fancies him strongly. Yeah. I can see that, definitely. Aaron Rye, Marcus Kinnelt.
Yeah, he's on my list.
I liked it at 50-1.
Le Golf National.
Won the British Masters, where he just keeps the ball in play, doesn't he, when he's on song.
He didn't win Le Golf National, did he? But he was right up there, so it's nice.
He had a big chance going
correlating
into
form,
Sunday. I think he went 3 or 4 clear after 5 or 6 holes on the Sunday, and eventually...
I must have turned the telly off at that point.
Yeah. Maximilian Kiefer, I quite fancied this week as well at a massive price.
Well, that is my third pick.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
80-1.
So your list is very similar.
Very similar to yours then.
It's almost, I mean, the others I've got down here, Beef, Andrew Johnson, 50-1, Mikko Korhonen at 50s. So I've got a lot of, I've also just a slightly shorter, Adrian Otegui and Jorge Campillo.
I can see Otegi going very well.
Yeah, very close with him at 40. But I think I was just leaning towards, I want bigger prices. And of all those lists of 50s, 40s, 35s, Kiefer is 80s. So it's just, I've kind of been drawn like a fly.
To the price.
To the
A moth to
light,
the flame.
Something like that. So he's 80-1. He hits it bullet straight, which is great for this course. And he was 5th the last time we were here. Third round 66, so he's got the course form there. 29th in that Open de España in 2016. So got some good results in Spain, actually. Got another top 10 in the 2015 Spanish Open. So does like coming to this country. Earlier this year, he was runner-up in the Oman Open, fifth in the Maybank. And then a decent knock in Germany, tied 37th. That was his home event, obviously, Max Kiefer. But it's very much the hitting it straight and you're proven on this course element. And again, at 50s, I'm probably striking a line through him. But 80s, I think that's too big again.
There we go. That's the Andalusia Masters, an event we are definitely looking forward to on the European Tour this week. Maybe the same can't be said about the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which is the PGA Tour event. Quite a weak field for this event in Detroit. Dustin Johnson heads the betting at 11-2. Ricky Fowler 11-1. Hideki Matsuyama 12-1. Gary Woodland is 14s. Chez Reavie 22-1. Brant Snedeker and Billy Horschel both 28-1. And it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. Detroit Golf Club picks up this event and it will host the Rocket Mortgage Classic for the next 4 years. And with a new course on the roster, it's an event that's a pretty difficult puzzle to solve. What we do know about the course is that it's a Donald Ross design that measures 7,334 yards and plays to a par of 72. It's tree-lined, but it looks slightly flatter than many of the Ross designs that are very undulating. I'd expect the green complexes to provide the sternest test, but I think scoring's going to be pretty low this week. Expect something maybe sub 20 under.
Yeah, I agree.
To win this week. And the greens are Poana mixed with a bit of bent grass, and the rough won't be too penal. And obviously, a lot of people will be looking at the other Ross designs that are used on tour. Sedgefield Country Club, which is the yearly host at the Wyndham Championship. Aronimink, which hosted the BMW Championship last year and has hosted the AT&T National in the past. And you've got Eastlake, the host of the Tour Championship as well. So there's a few angles in, but obviously with a new golf course, it's difficult to know exactly what type of player is going to be suited to the test.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment of the score because it's a new event and player power is so prevalent, isn't it, these days, that they'll want to get big names back. So they're not going to do anything to sort of annoy them. I'm going to use a ruder word there. So I think they'll just say, here you go, lads. Help yourself.
Have some fun.
Yeah, because I think you can protect it via pin placements.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to set it up and say, you know, go and make your birdies. Four par five, par 72, four par fives as well.
I can imagine it'll play something like the John Deere. That sort of scoring where, and it's similar types of grasses in the summertime in America as well. So yeah. I can see it playing like the John Deere Classic in terms of scoring. And I think strokes gained approach will be maybe the most important element in terms of a statistical standpoint this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No big theory.
No, I was look at birdies, eagles, par breaker stats on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
That's going to help you. But you've got two picks, so you've done better than me here.
Yeah, you've just got one pick
in
this. Yeah, I quite like my first pick here. I'm going Jason Duffner.
Well, I hope you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50-1. But it's one of my maybe one of my stronger bets this week, Duffner at 50s. And for want of a better theory, I thought it was worthwhile to focus on those with good records on Donald Ross design golf courses.
Yeah.
And he's got one. Duffner really stood out. He's won a major at a Ross design at Oak Hill. And his tee to green game has been very strong recently. Finished fourth at the Wells Fargo. Backed that up with a seventh place finish at the Memorial and a respectable tie for 35th at the US Open as well. Obviously, it will just depend on the putter with Jason Duffner. But he's actually been better on the greens in his last few starts than he usually is, which bodes well. I think in a weak field, he's definitely worth a look this week. And I thought 50-1 was fair on the Duff man. So Jason Duffner, my number one pick.
Yeah, fair enough. I am going to go with Kevin Streelman.
Okay. You tipped Streelman last week, didn't you?
Yeah, he did all right. We didn't quite just get in a blow, did he? But that followed a fourth at Memorial. So he was 15th last week. So shot a pair of 67, 69, 69 last week. So last seven rounds in his 60s. So he's scoring well, Kevin Streelman. Obviously, we knew one of the things I probably mentioned that Travelers had won that before with seven birdies to finish. So he can get on a bit of a tear. you mentioned the John Deere. If you look at last year's John Deere leaderboard, there's Kay Streelman in tied seventh. Mm. So clearly likes this sort of test. And I think if you've not got course form, what have you got? You've got current form. He's fourth and 15th.
Yeah.
That is pretty good in this field, to be honest. So it's no... I don't know. The Donald Ross thing always sounds logical, doesn't it? A very logical approach to take, but it, how... You can't lean everything on that.
No, I wouldn't lean on it too much. I think for want of a better theory, I was looking at Ross and current form.
Yeah.
And
ability to go low.
Yeah, my two picks tie in with that, really. Yeah. I do think iron play is important on Ross designs because the green complexes are so severe.
Yeah.
Basically, so you don't just need to find the greens, you need to find the right segments as well.
Streelman obviously is a fine iron player, so that does all tie in.
Yeah.
He's not amazing odds, I have to say, at 40s, but...
It is a weak field.
We're slightly rummaging in the dark, aren't we, here? The top end is kind of taking a big chunk out of the market. And I don't know, DJ's probably not putting well enough. Gary Woodland, you don't know how he's going to react. Fowler's not quite on it.
Yeah, Matsuyama, I think, will go well, though.
Yes.
Hideki Matsuyama.
It's quite a short price for someone who hasn't won in a while.
Yeah, he's definitely due, isn't he, though? I think he'll go well. I think 12 to 1's about his price,
short
isn't
enough
it?
For me,
Yeah. My second pick, I like Ryan Moore. I thought you might have been on him this week.
It's almost because it seems too obvious, but that's probably a silly line of thinking.
30 to 1
I think I wanted 40s, I don't know quite why I had that in mind, but it's, you argue away, it's fairly...
It's fairly obvious, isn't it? It won the Wyndham Championship on a Ross design, that was back in 2009 at Sedgefield. Iron play is really coming around recently, 33rd at Memorial, followed by 15th last week at the Travellers, ranks fourth in strokes gained approach in this field in the last nine tournaments, so that's pretty recent. His iron form is really decent recently. He's just a good week away with the putter from contending, I think, Ryan Moore. And I think 30 to 1 is okay. So, I'll play him a point each way as well, Ryan Moore.
Yeah. On the line of thinking about going low, I looked at Aaron Wise at 40s because he won the Byron Nelson with 20, God knows what, under 23 under, 26 under, something like that. So he's one. And I said to you off air, we have kind of nailed Sung Jae-im, haven't we, when he's a lot bigger elsewhere. We've got him in at 35, so that puts me off. But if you look at, I think he's made more birdies than anyone on tour this year. Slightly skewed by him playing a lot, but does that. And I think he made 4 eagles in Canada as well. So he's someone who can really go low, and 35's close, but just
obviously. I was on him last week, and I was tracking his progress, and it was such an up and down. Yeah. I made an 8, I think.
Too many daft bits.
Yeah, too many daft bits, precisely. But I can see that 35 to 1. You know, I really like Nick Watney at 66 to 1.
Close for me.
He's coming back. He's won a Ronnemink, the AT&T National.
Yeah.
And I can see him going well. I mean, we've just pushed him out slightly. We completely ducked him in the market at 50s. He's out to 66s now, which I think is more tempting at 66 to 1, but I can see him playing well this week.
See him playing well. I can't quite see him going low enough to win.
Maybe not. Mm. Maybe not.
Might be one of these sort of just young bomber lads.
You could see a Victor Hovland winning this week, perhaps. Looks a good opportunity for him. And
what is it?
Aaron Wise, 40s.
What is Victor Hovland, 40s?
Yeah.
What did you make of him last week then?
I mean, he's play off the tees. Ridiculous, isn't it? It's like when Rahm burst on to the scene, in terms of it's just that short kind of short backswing and just all power from the hips and the core, basically. We're seeing a different breed of golfer now, aren't we? Making waves on the PGA Tour, and he looks like another one straight off the production line, really. I think he's a serious talent.
12th in the US Open, 54th last week with the final round 73, so maybe just tailed off, and that performance looks a bit
his numbers are worse than it is. Really astonishing in terms of
should have got him playing Valderrama. Driving accuracy figures are excellent.
Oh yeah, I mean he would. I think he'd love Valderrama because he hits it so long and straight.
Good guy. Pop back to Norway. Yeah. let's ring his agent.
Let's. Shall we recap the selections then for this week? Who's the player you don't want to win?
Well, I'm going to say Sung Jae-im then.
Yeah, I'm half tempted by a Matsuyama Fitzpatrick top of the market double, and I rarely do those, but
don't like the prices on either. But you think
I think if you couple them both together,
getting 120s.
I quite like the angle this week. I can see Fitzpatrick obviously taking to Valderrama, and Matsuyama's just due a win, and his iron play should set him up nicely around this golf course. So I can see that, but maybe Matsuyama. I don't know. I picked Duffner and Moore, so I can't say maybe Matsuyama won't put well enough this week. I need one of those two guys to get hot with the putter, basically.
Yeah, we've got to see each way scope with the other two, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's got to be winning, really.
Selections then.
So in Valderrama, I'll go half a point each way on Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño at 100s. I'll go half a point each way on Max Kiefer at 80s. And I've completely forgotten the other one.
Richie Ramsey.
Yes, of course.
Don't forget about him.
Richie Ramsey, I'm going to go point each way at 66s. Because I think of all the prices, I think is the one that's most out of line to what I would have him at.
Okay, I'm going a point each way Julian Surrey at 30-1. And a point each way Jason Duffner at 50s. And Ryan Moore at 30s in the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Yeah, in which I will go a point each way Kevin Streelman at 40s.
Very good. Thank you, Dave Tindall.
Thank you, Dave Kellner.
You can follow us both on Twitter. Please do drop your comments via Twitter at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. And we will be back for next week, where we've got the Irish Open on the European Tour. And I've no idea what it is on the PGA Tour next week. Have you got a clue?
No, I'd have to
have a look.
Look while we speak.
Yeah. I'm looking for it's one of those stretches now where your mind sort of wanders towards that when you're fully focused on the PGA Tour throughout the season.
In
European mode a little bit, given we've got this such a good run of events.
So we've got Irish, Scottish, then the Open. So that's fantastic, isn't it?
That's it.
So in America, we have the 3M Open.
Yeah, that's in
Twin Cities,
Minnesota.
Yes.
Next week.
And then we've got John Deere.
Yeah.
But familiarity.
Yeah. Thank you for your company, Dave Tindall.
Yeah. Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And do make sure you get your bets on at williamhill.com. Check out all the markets for the two events this week, the Andalusia Masters and the Rocket Mortgage Classic on the PGA Tour. Myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.